Well done, musicians. There really are some things that Jesus never said, and we should really stop believing them. Today, we're thinking about a biblical truth that is so important, because Jesus never said that we should not forgive someone who has really hurt us badly. The preparation of this sermon this week has been quite a challenge for me because I thought I had made some good progress in this area, began to think about an issue in my own life. If you don't mind, I'll share it. It's rather personal and somewhat painful for me, but I think it will help to capture the truth of what we're sharing today. My sister, my youngest sister, Danya, some of you may have heard her name or know of her. She lived a few miles north of Hornbeck a few years ago, and a man came and knocked on the door, and I think he was on cocaine. His car had broken. I don't know a lot of the details about what was on his mind or his heart or what was going on, but he broke in and he did a lot of damage to my sister. He beat her up, and I think he picked up a little knife from the yard, and during the process of fighting her and beating her up, he stuck that knife into her shoulder and broke it off in there. It was quite an ugly situation, and we were heartbroken by that experience and went to the hospital, visited with her a great deal. Jerry Key was a key person in her life at that time, and as he was at Hornbeck, and visited with her a great deal, and we appreciate that so much. We went to the trial of this man as he was convicted of a crime, and he was sentenced to prison. And I've always felt that in especially preparing a sermon like this, I think I've done pretty well. You know, when you preach something or you try to live something or you think you know it's the truth, the Lord often has you go through something that puts you to the test. He's good at that, isn't he? We can talk big, we can preach big, we can go through the scriptures and say, yeah, I got that okay. But then he puts you through a test. And for me, that was a test. For all of our family, it was to forgive this man. I've never talked to him. I've never seen him. But I do know this. After the preparation of this message this week, I think I need to make an effort to find out where he is. And I need to sit down in front of him and tell him that I forgive him. He needs to hear that from somebody in our family. And maybe the Lord has tapped me on the shoulder to do that. Because there really is no one in this life that we as God's people can't or shouldn't forgive. Tough message today, and I know that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to some of you because none of us gets out of here unscathed. We all have people in our lives, and you walk through life enough that you're going to be confronted with issues. Some of them are quite easy. Some of them are not too difficult. Your neighbor rides their lawnmower over your beautiful tulips in your yard, and you're just kind of upset about that. Well, hopefully you can forgive your neighbor of mowing over your flowers. That's something that's not too huge. But then someone at work kind of stabs you in the back, and they get the promotion, and you don't. That hurts a little bit more. That affects your income and your family and your future, and you're stung by that as a Christian. And you're not quite sure how to get over that, and you don't feel good about that person. A little bit tougher. And then someone hurts someone in your family. They do some damage that's life-threatening, and it becomes more and more difficult. There can be all kinds of things that happen to us, and my prayer is that if there are a few of you in this room today who are having difficulty struggling with the idea of forgiveness, I pray, and I want you to experience the miracle that we need to experience. And it is a miracle. You see, forgiveness and offering forgiveness to someone who has really hurt you is unnatural. It is supernatural. It requires something bigger than ourselves to move into a place of saying to a person, I set you free. The definition that I like for forgiveness is basically this. I give up my right to hurt you for hurting me. I like that definition. There are many others as well, But basically, you're releasing a person from guilt. You're releasing that person from what they've done to you or to your family. And believe me, as a human being, that's an unnatural thing to do. We want to hurt back. That's the natural response. We want to harbor that. We want to hug that grudge. We want to hold on to it. Somehow that makes us feel better. It makes us feel like we're holding something over them, and I'm not about to release them of what they've done to us. That's why it requires something supernatural. It requires a miracle from God to give us the spirit and the attitude to truly forgive someone. By the way, my sister recovered from that incident, and then a little while later she developed glioblastoma, a brain cancer, and she died a couple of years later, and maybe kind of adding to the challenge that we all had to forgive this man. And yet I believe that God has helped us a great deal in this area. Here's the lie that we believe. Here's the lie that we somehow have embraced, even as God's people. Forgiveness is overrated. It's not all it's cracked up to be, and it's really only reserved for the truly spiritual Mother Teresas of the world. But normal people, people who live in the real world, can't afford to forgive. It just sets them up to be hurt again. And besides that, there are just some things that shouldn't be forgiven. Is that where you are today? Some of you are thinking about an incident in your life right now, and you're wondering how this might apply to you and what you need to do about it. So goes the lie that we've believed. In fact, there are multiple lies that we've embraced, and it says basically this. Number one, if you forgive the person, you're condoning their behavior. We feel like, well, if I just forgive that person, well, maybe they'll think it's okay that they did it. But that is not so. We tell them it's no big deal if we forgive them so quickly, because it's like we're letting them off the hook. That's a lie as well. Number two, if you forgive, you must also forget what happens. That's a lie that's been around for a long time. How do you forget rape? How do you forget sexual abuse? How do you forget murder? How do you forget that? You can't. I really believe that forgiveness is a costly remembering. There's a costly remembering involved, and yet there's a freedom that comes because of that. Number three, if you forgive them, you're going to have to restore the relationship as well. That's a definite mistake. We don't have to be good friends with the person who hurt us. We don't have to hang with them. We don't have to do things with them. It's okay not to do that, even though we may forgive them. Consider Karen. Her husband lied about their money problems, and this happens sometimes in marriage relationships. He was spending money, he was wasting money in areas, and he was lying to his wife about their finances. And finally, he has to give in and tell her about those financial troubles. They borrow some money from her parents, and they pay off some of that debt, and they hopefully recover a little bit, and she forgives her husband. And then he does it again. Gets them into financial trouble by making horrible decisions and selfish decisions regarding their finances. What do you do? What do you say? Do you forgive again? I think you know the biblical answer to that. Here's the truth. Here's the truth that is supernatural. It's not normal. It's only a God-sized thing that we can get to the place that we can make a conscious decision to forgive someone. The truth is that forgiveness is one of the sweetest gifts a human can give to another. It's a mental, emotional, volitional act of grace that may be unmatched in its breathtaking implications for both the life of the offender and the forgiver. And for Christians, it isn't optional. Jesus requires us to forgive all who have wronged us, no matter how significant or frequent the offense. Now, that's not to say there aren't penalties. The man who hurt our sister and our daughter is in prison for a long time. I don't know how he's doing. Perhaps I can find out before too long. But forgiveness is an amazing gift that we can give as one human being to another. There's a real beauty to forgiveness too. There's something wonderful that can happen in a life when we're willing to forgive. I'm going to have to forgive you. I can't keep living like this. Tears streamed down Catherine's reddened cheeks as she spoke. I don't want to, but I have to. Holding this grudge over your head isn't doing me any good. There's no way that you can ever restore what you've taken from me. There's no way that you can right the wrong, but I can't live the rest of my life as a victim. I won't go on letting this define who I am. So even though you don't deserve it, I forgive you. I'm going to let this go. I'm leaving your offense here. Catherine paused for a few long moments and walked away from her father's grave. There's a beauty. There's something healing and unique and special that takes place in a life like Catherine's. When we say the words and make the decision, it's a conscious decision, it's a miraculous decision, it's a God thing, it's a God-sized thing, because we're so tempted to hold it and to hug it and to let it do damage in our minds and our hearts and our bodies and in our lives. But as she walked away from her father's grave, she experienced that beauty for herself. Forgiveness in its purest form is releasing a debt. Releasing a debt that someone owes to you. I give up my right to hurt you for hurting me. It has some wonderful side effects if we choose to forgive, some really wonderful side effects. Forgiveness heals. It heals us, because the opposite makes us sick. Unforgiveness makes us very sick. And so forgiveness heals. Give yourself and your soul permission to move on to a higher, healthier place by choosing to forgive. Forgiveness is to the soul what antibiotics are to an infection. They remove the illness, they remove the pain, they remove the things that cause us to die in this life. Forgiveness frees us from slavery. It's like taking poison. Unforgiveness is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It's irrational. We're the one that's struggling. They've moved on. We're the ones that are hurting. And we need to realize that God wants us to move on from that and find the healing and the wellness that we so desperately need. When you forgive, you declare your independence, unlocking the chains of turmoil that come from grudge holding. And God will help us to do that if we trust Him. Forgiveness empowers. It takes real courage and strength to forgive. Anyone can hold a grudge, but if there's a wayward wife or parents of the parents who've or the parents of a child who was killed by a drunk driver, all these things can affect us greatly. But if we can take personal authority and godly authority over that experience, we can get to that place of forgiveness. God wants us to get there. In fact, He commands us to get there. To choose not to get there, to sit stubbornly and say, I'm not going to do that, I can't do that, is to say that God can't perform miracles and that He can't work in your heart and your life to set you free. He's got things for you to do. There are other people impacted by your life, and if you wallow in that and you stay there forever, damage continues to be done by that person, and that's not what God wants us to do. Forgiveness models love. I read about a man in Texas whose father was brutally murdered. And that man acted and behaved in an amazing way. After his father was brutally murdered, as a Christian man, he did go to that prison. He sat toe-to-toe with this man. He looked him in the eye and said, I want you to know, sir, that I forgive you. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. I still miss my father greatly. But I want you to know that I choose, as an act of my will, to forgive you. Forgiveness is a picture of radical love. It is radical. It's not reasonable. It's not sensible. And it's not easy. It is radical. But it's required of us to get there. You may not need this message today. I pray that you don't. I pray that you have a charmed life and that you go through life and everybody loves you and they're always kind to you from now until the time you go to heaven. But chances are you're going to need this at some point. Chances are one of your children will need it. Chances are a neighbor will need it. Help them to get there. Life is short, and we don't want to live it wallowing in this kind of stuff. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to preachers. Bad things happen to church members. Bad things happen to Christians all the time. The question is, what are we going to do about it? How are you going to respond to it? You're going to let it destroy you and the people around you? Are you going to step up to the plate and embrace the truths that I'm sharing today from God's Word about how that we can forgive? Matthew 18 reminds us of something very important. Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22, it says this, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?' And Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Brother Jerry, that's unreasonable. That makes no sense. I know. But it's the truth. And there's a reason for that. As I think about my own life, and as you think about your life, and the choices that we have made, the decisions that we have made to deceive, to be dishonest, to be lustful, to be lazy, to be greedy, to be selfish, all the things that we have chosen to do, the Bible says about us in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you." That's it. There's no wiggle room here. We must choose to forgive because the Lord has forgiven us. Now, how big is that? How big a deal is that your sins are forgiven? All of them. Washed away from beginning to the now that to the day that you die, your sins are gone forever, and heaven is your eternal home. That's a big deal. It's huge. Don't ever get over that. And so since we've been forgiven much, we must choose in this life that when we are hurt, when we are damaged, when people do hateful things to us, and they will, we must stand in a place to say, I've got to move on. I've got to embrace this truth, Father. Help me to know how to do it. May I try to help us to do that today? I want to give you Exhibit A, first of all. Bob and Audrey Meisner were living the dream. The Meisners were Christians. They were ministers. They had a church of their own, and they had their own television show. They had a nationwide ministry. But Bob and Audrey were busy, like many ministers are, and Pat and I know the stress of ministry and church life and how sometimes we can get so busy. Well, they got so busy that their marriage began to struggle a little bit, and Bob and Audrey began to talk about this and wonder what they're going to do, but they did nothing, and the busyness continued. Well, Audrey began to drift a little bit more away from Bob and her relationship, and she began to draw a little bit closer to a man in the congregation. Oh, at first it was just emotional. They would talk, and maybe they would hug just a little bit too long. But in a week or two, their relationship became sexual. Audrey became unfaithful to her minister husband. That went on for a couple more weeks. She broke off the relationship. She confessed her sin to her husband. She put their lives, their marriage, their home, they had three beautiful children, put all of that at risk. How did Bob respond? What would you do? Well, he forgave her. They resigned from the church. They resigned all their television shows and programming. They moved to another location, brought the three children and his wife, and they joined a church where they could begin the healing process. And there's another element to this story. In that affair, in that illicit relationship, in her adultery, she became pregnant from the other man. Now what are you going to do? What did Bob do? He loved his wife. He forgave her. The relationship was restored. It took a long time. Trust had to be rebuilt. But the relationship was restored. Their lives were rebuilt. He even told the children in a gracious, loving way, not embarrassing his wife or shaming her. He told the children about her pregnancy and how it came about in as good a way as he possibly could. Several months later, a little boy was born, and Bob Meisner gave that little boy his name, Bob Theodore Meisner. Folks, that's the heart of God. That's the way God loves you. That's what God has done for you over and over and over again. Can we do any less? Must we wallow in our hurt and be so prideful and so arrogant as if to say, how dare I get hurt in this world? Why should I get hurt in this world? Have mercy. None of us is exempt from the struggles and the pains and the hurts in this life. We have been forgiven so much, and because of that, we too must forgive. Brother Jerry, how do I do it? How can I get there? It hurts too badly. I've waited so long. The pain is too real. How do I get there? Number one, pray for perspective. Pray for perspective. Bob could have walked away, but he chose not to. Pray for perspective of 10 years from now, 50 years from now. Do I want to stay in this situation, or do I want to grow? Pray that God would give you a vision. Ask God for his point of view. Ask God for a miracle in your heart, and I promise he will give it. If you're open to it, if you're open to receiving a miracle from God, he will help you to get beyond that struggle and that pain. Pray for perspective. Then fully weigh and evaluate the loss. Listen, if your neighbor mows over your flowers, you haven't lost much. But if your wife or your husband are unfaithful, you've lost a lot. If your loved one is beaten up and stabbed and left for dead, you've lost a lot. And so weigh that out. Don't minimize it. What happened to you was serious. What happened to you was painful. Grieve it. Weep over it. Say whatever you need to say. God, I'm angry about this. I don't know what to do with this. This was horrible. Acknowledge the truth that it is horrible. Evaluate the loss that you've received. Sometimes it's huge. Sometimes it's small. Sometimes it's something that you can get over relatively easily, but sometimes not. And then number three, fully extend forgiveness. Fully extend forgiveness. It's the most important part. Look them in the eye when possible and say that I will not hold this over you anymore. I must move on. and I must find the healing that comes. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I will give you freedom that I want you to have in this life." I just want you to know that I have forgiven this man who hurt my sister. I do need to go talk to him. I need to speak with him. I think it's something the Lord would have me to do for my benefit and for his. I want you to walk in the freedom that comes and in the joy that comes. I don't want this man to dominate my life. I don't want him to dominate my thoughts. I don't want him to consume my energy. I've got too much to do. I have a wife. I have grandchildren and children. And have I told you about my grandchildren lately? They're special to me, and I don't want this event in my life to hold me from being all that I can be to everybody in my life. I've got a little bit of work to do here at East Leesville, and by the grace of God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it with joy. I'm going to do it with freedom, not in something that happened back there. And so it should be with you. Walk away from that. Set that person free, and God will bless you in a special, special way. I give up my right to hurt you for hurting me. Forgiveness is a precious gift that can be given to another human being. I pray that you will move in that direction. God will be pleased with you, and He will use you in amazing ways to be a blessing to other people. But if you choose not to, you're going to lose a lot. You're going to stay in that grind and in that misery and wallowing in something that is gone and it's in the past. And there's life to be lived. There are people to be served. There are blessings in store for you. Claim those by choosing to forgive. Bow with me. Thank you, Father, for the day. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to preach it, to teach it, to reveal it to all of us. And I pray, Father, that if there's one or two or a dozen people in here who need this today, I pray that they would make the conscious decision, today is the day. This is it. I'm done. It's over. I'm moving forward. I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to walk away in peace and joy with a happy heart for the first time in a long time. If you need Jesus as your Savior today, what a precious time to do that. He has forgiven you. He will forgive you as you trust Him as Savior. This is a wonderful church. You need to join this church if you're in this area, and I pray that you will.